Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh, my
the mark of fantasy excellence.
Yes! It's time for a touchdown!
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, welcome back. Hour number three, Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina and George Kurtz taking you through a Sunday morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Short Angle, producing our show, keeping us flying straight, as always, doing a great job. And, George, we were talking a little closer strategy before we went to commercial. I want to remind everyone that we've got Ryan Hallam coming up in the next segment. He's going to give us a behind-the-scenes look at some of the strategy that he's planning on using in the new Tout Wars Draft and Hold League, basically a best ball league. I was going to say Best Buy, but that's a store. But be interesting to see what he's expecting to do there. So, George, you are the guru when it comes to closers. So what are you doing this year when it comes to closer strategy?
Yeah, my closer strategy doesn't really change year to year. Now, listen, you mentioned I write the closer report for Roto Experts. I've written it for the past 5-6 years. And one thing I can tell you unequivocally, is that there are 30 closers in baseball. I guess 29, right? Miami's not going to name a closer. They're going to have a go by committee. Mm-hmm. But there are 29 closers in baseball. Half of them will not have that job by the All-Star break. Either for Amazing. Injury, poor performance, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Every year, half won't have it. So don't flip out in your draft over closers, all right? Mm-hmm. I want, when I'm drafting, I want one, assuming a snake draft, obviously an auction is a little different, but I want one solid closer. One solid closer, okay? That means I might draft the closer in round 7, depends how your draft goes. I might draft the closer in round 7, round 8. One solid guy who I believe is going to have the job all year long. You know, it probably won't be, you know, Chapman or, you know, the guys who are locks, Kenley Jansen. You know, those guys, because they'll go earlier. Yeah, and I'm not going to be the first person to take a closer. So I said round 7, but if the first closers go to round 7, well, now I'm probably in round 8-ish, round 9. I just want to make sure I avoid the run. I want one solid closer. And after that, it's a guessing game. You know, because, as I meant, if once again, you're a 12-team league. If 10 of us have one solid closer, well, that means the rest are good. That's already 10 of what I believe about 14 that are solid, they're going to have the job. Everybody else is just guessing games. You know, I'll wait till double-digit rounds now, and I'll take another closer or two. I might take guys who are top setup men, who I really like, who I think could get saves or take over the job eventually. I like top setup men because, you know, as your draft goes along here, I don't want a starting pitcher 4 and 5 on a Major League Baseball team. They're not going to help me. Sure, they'll help with strikeouts. They'll get me some Ws, but they're going to crush my ratios. I would rather have a top setup man who's protecting my ratios, you know, who's keeping my whip and my ERA intact here, and who may pick up some saves during the season. You know, Andrew Miller, I always had Andrew Miller on my teams because once again, he protects the ratios and he'll get some saves, and there's always a chance he takes over that closing role. So guys like that, I don't mind grabbing here because let's face it, who are your top-notch relief pitchers? Diaz, I mentioned Jansen. I'll give Vasquez off Pittsburgh. I'll go to the well again with a Sooner Chapman. On Houston. Chapman. Boy, it gets real scary after this, doesn't it?
And wherever it does, Kimbrel ends up.
Yeah, wherever Kimbrel ends up, I'll give it to him. And after that, I mean, wow. That's what I mean is I'm not going to panic about it. We're all
and even then,
after that.
Two of those guys have question marks, too. Yeah, like Jansen had the heart scare in the offseason, right? Didn't he have like
a couple,
little
he's had a couple heart
there?
Scares now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chapman had the knee issue last year, so you're wondering like if you're going to want a like a Betances, right, as a guy maybe who would be next up to close some games, or maybe a Britton, right?
I think you'd want Britton. I don't think the Yankees would go to Betances next. He seems to struggle in the role somewhat. I think he gets the pressure somewhat gets to him. I think the Yankees like the fact that he can get multiple outs, multiple inning outs. He can get you four outs, five outs, that sort of thing here. So I think it would be Britton if Chapman went down. But and listen, you mentioned he had the knee issue. It certainly could happen there. Mm-hmm. But that's why I don't understand why some people will grab Jansen early. Grab Jansen in round five. I'm not doing it. I'm not, because I believe, once again, it also depends on the kind of player you are, Joe. If you're someone who's going to pay attention, and you'll make the moves, you'll be able to read between the lines. All right, this guy is struggling. I write the closer report, so I know who's struggling. I know who's going to replace these guys. I know I'll be able to grab a guy early. It might also depend on what kind of fab you're running here. I dislike leagues that only have fab one day a week, because I might know something on Monday. But now by the time Sunday rolls around, everybody knows it, even though I knew about it Monday, but there's nothing I could do about it. I prefer fab to be run as many times as possible. Yeah, really. I played a league where it ran every night, and I like that. I think that's the way it should be, at least multiple times a week. And by multiple, I mean more than two. I think it's unfair.
To pay attention, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's what a good owner should do. I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to know something on Monday or Tuesday, and I'd make the move right then if I could, but no, fab doesn't run until Sunday. Now I got to wait, and by then, every outlet has it, and everybody knows, and now, the price gets jacked up now, but also the odds of me getting them is much slimmer now, because, once again, there's always a chance that someone's going to outbid me. I prefer to be either first come, first serve, which I don't mind either. But I know people hate that because it does benefit the person who's at a computer. Well, generally I'm at my computer, so I kind of like that. But
if it runs at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're gonna stay up, right, and press the button at 2:01.
I've done that. I think the weirdest thing I ever did. I was in a dynasty football league, and this was first come first serve, and I accidentally released a player I shouldn't have. It was my fault. I did it, and I did email the commissioner, but this happened late. Late at night, probably after midnight, but I released him by accident. I emailed the commissioner, but I wasn't sure what the policy was, and I wouldn't have bitched about it if he said no. But I couldn't take the chance. I actually, when waivers opened again to claim somebody at like 8 a.m. the next morning or whatever time it was, I made sure I was up and that I could claim my player back. And I did get the player back. And the owner said he would have put him back on my – the commissioner said he would have put him back on my roster anyway, since I emailed so quickly, 30 seconds after it happened. I would have got the player back anyway.
Right.
But I wasn't taking chances. It was a money league. I wasn't taking chances. And I'm the type of owner, listen, I wouldn't have bitched. It was my fault, obviously. I just didn't read. I assumed I hit the right buttons here. It's the only time I've ever done that. But it did happen here, and it happens to the best of us. We all make those kinds of mistakes, and that's why you need to have a rule in place about what happens during those situations.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm glad that you were able to get him back. You probably pressed the button and was like, I wish I could just turn back time, right? But I'm glad that you.
I might have had a few four-letter words in there.
Here and there, yeah. I wouldn't blame you. So why don't we switch gears for the next few minutes and talk about the Rockies. Now, the Rockies are a team that basically you want to try to get as many players on. You don't want to inundate your roster with a lot of players from one team, but this is a team that you, when it comes to offense, it's always one that you're going to pay attention to. The Rockies announced this week that Ian Desmond is going to be their starting center fielder. Last year, he was there, played 138 games at first base. So, Desmond's kind of like an interesting guy, the ADP, just about 144, almost like a good bet for, high teens, home runs and stolen bases. He can even push himself to 20-20, but just seems to be such a streaky kind of guy, right? I mean, he just... If you look at his numbers, he's gone through terrible slumps. I mean, in 2015, batted 233, 16 and 17 285 and 274, which is decent. Then last year, batted 236. His BABIP was 279, and it was a career 322. So maybe, you know, if he rights that ship, you know, maybe he could get that batting average back up over 250, 255, or closer to what we'd expect from a guy like Desmond. Now, where do you stand on a guy like Desmond? I'm thinking that, you know, basically, if he could fix himself, maybe he's a guy that maybe could give us maybe closer to 260 batting average, 18 home runs, up to 20, and maybe another, you know, 17 plus stolen bases. And he's going to be dual eligible, right? Because he played first base last year. So first base outfield eligible.
You put it correctly. Listen, the Rockies make some strange moves. I mean, you had a guy in the outfield. He's older now. Now you want to be a full-time center fielder. And this is one. If this isn't the biggest center field in baseball, it's one of them. You know, I guess Miami could be bigger, but it's one of them. So I wonder how this guy's going to hold up as the year moves on here. I do. And does it affect his hitting? That sort of thing. Throughout his career, I mean, he's another one of these guys who you don't quite know what you're going to get year to year. Bad 236 last year. 22 home runs, 88 ribbies, 20 stolen bases. You like the power-speed combo. You do like it. You think there's upside as much as power is concerned. I don't know if he's going to steal 30 bases. So he stole 20. Maybe he steals 22, 23. You'll take that. The ribbies are fine. They should go up some. He did play 160 games last year. The average concerns me, but I think there's upside here. I don't think he's going to bat 236, but I don't know if he's going to get to, you know, he batted 274 and 17, 285 and 16. I don't know if he reaches those heights either. I think what I would like from Desmond, if I'm drafting him, Joe, is I do like the dual position eligibility, which in most leagues he should have. You know, we always like that. That's always a bonus.
Sure.
What I'm hoping for is with an average that it doesn't have to help me, just don't kill me. You know, I can take 255. I'll take that. Yeah, you know, that's my definition of it. It doesn't help me, obviously, but it doesn't kill me. I'll have enough guys going above, you know, a 272 mark or whatever the average is, where I'm not worried about it. So that's what I'm hoping to. Because I do like the power speed combo. I like the position the fact that he's eligible at multiple positions. That's generally not something I ever use as anything more than a tiebreaker, mind you, between two players. Mm-hmm. But I do like it. You know, he'll have first base, corner infield, obviously DH and outfield. So I do like that. As far as Desmond's concerned, I do think there's upside here, but I am concerned somewhat that this is a player over the second half, because of he's playing center field now and all the extra run he's going to have to do, that he does wear down some. But like I said, the Rockies are a strange team. I don't understand what they do here. Why you signed Daniel Murphy is beyond me. You know, now he's going to be your primary first baseman. It looks like you're not going to give McMahon a chance. It's stupid. Why are you spending this money on positions you don't need? Like I said, the Rockies are just a strange team in that regard.
They have a lot of moving parts. You bring up Ryan McMahon, played some first base, second base, third base, just 24, right? If you look at it, I think if their depth report, he's looking like he's going to get a chance to be their second baseman. But then they got a lot of different guy, Garrett Hampson, could play second, short, the outfield as well. Big time stolen bases guy, right? Raimel Tapia is still in the mix too. I mean, their outfield right now, they got in left. They moved over Blackman, right? David Dahl is going to be penciled in as the starting right fielder. Now, this is a guy, David Dahl. He's another interesting guy. I mean, if you look at his
let him play
minor league enough. Exactly. Yeah, hopefully he doesn't get hurt. That's the big thing, right? Been a little injury prone. But they have a lot of guys. You're right. It's a strange team. I mean, who do you think among these young guys is going to establish themselves? I mean, and it's a tough call, but just maybe give me from your gut feeling. You got David Dahl, McMahon, Hampson. Any of these guys that you would feel more comfortable taking the chance on as to, you know, being fantasy relevant this season?
And don't be surprised, by the way, if they re-sign Carlos Gonzalez. Because I wouldn't be surprised if Carr goes back there.
Seems like a Rockies move, right? Yeah.
Once again, yeah, go with the veteran. Don't give your youngsters a chance. So many teams do this over and over again. If I'm them, I would have never signed Desmond either, by the way, 2 years ago. I think I thought that was silly. Once again, not a position of need there. Youngsters are like, I mean, you mentioned the main guys there, right? Hampson, who really seems to be eligible everywhere. Right, is there a position he can't play? I kind of like Tapia, but where's he going to play? I mean, that's the problem. I think McMahon's the best out of all these guys easily. But where's he going to play? Unless they move Murphy to second base, which we know is a mistake, where's he going to play? You know, I keep looking at this over and over again. And it's just, there's no spot for him. There's just no spot for the for him. You know, I still got Brandon Rogers, too. You know, if I'm
But I think he's more a September call-up, unfortunately.
So do I. But if I'm in a deeper league, you know, in case second base doesn't work out here and he gets off to a nice start, he might be somebody, like I said, it has to be a deeper league with a nice bench. You know, I might take a shot on Brandon Rogers, but I think you're right. I think he certainly is a September call-up. He didn't have the greatest of great years last year, but I think it's a kid worth watching, you know, there for Colorado. But the bottom line is, by playing time, I probably have to go Hampson, even though I think McMahon's the better player. But unless they're going to move Murphy to second base, I mean, when's McMahon going to play? Plus, they have Mark Reynolds there, too. So even if McMahon does, let's say Hampson goes to second base, does that mean Reynolds and McMahon platoon at first? It's just a mess. This is what I mean, but I don't understand what the Rockies do. Signing Daniel Murphy made no sense to me.
2 minutes to break. Yeah. Might have made no sense, but man, I'm really looking up in terms of what he can do there. I mean, you know, not surprising. He's got great career numbers. Who doesn't really when you're playing Coors, right? 330 batting average, 358 on base percentage, and 536 slugging percentage. And then, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, he's going to probably be their first baseman for a while. And he'll be eligible at first and second. So would it, I mean, I'm thinking that easily he could bat just a little over 325. As long as he's healthy, that's another key for him. You know, 25 plus home runs and 90 ribbies.
Oh, I'm there with you. Yeah. I have no problem with those numbers here. I mean, health, listen, that's always important for every player. For certain players, yeah, it's what I love to say. The most important ability for any pro athlete is availability. Yeah, you got to be healthy.
But him in particular, because he's had those knee issues. But, you know, when he finally was able to play last year, you know, he picked up right where he left off.
Oh, he's a professional hitter. He's a very good hitter. And when I say they shouldn't have signed him, it's nothing against Murphy. Nothing at all against Murphy. It's all about the need for the team. They didn't need him. And if you weren't going to play him at second base, which it doesn't look like they're going to do, which is a smart thing, by the way, then you really didn't need him. Because he's just, I mean, how much better is Murphy than McMahon right now? Even if you want to use a McMahon-Reynolds platoon, how much better is he than those two? Especially on a team that doesn't need hitting, they need pitching. Broken wings.
All right, well, let's head out. Let's fly out to a commercial. Ryan Hallam coming up. There you go. I'll be talking some Tout Wars with buddy Ryan Hallam. We'll be back with more of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts, in the morning.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the morning. Nice Sunday morning with Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz, Sean Angle producing our show, keeping us flying straight, and thrilled to have one of my friends from the industry, Mr. Ryan Hallam. He's from Fighting Chance Fantasy. You could follow him on Twitter at Fighting Chance, has been invited to the Tout Wars Draft and Hold League. 15-teamer, 15 rounds, no trades, no free agent pickups, basically no net, right? If you win the circus, you know, best ball format. Ryan, how's it going? Thanks for joining us this morning.
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to this draft.
Yeah, tomorrow, right?
It kicks off tomorrow, 8 a.m., at least according to the draft room. I thought we were starting on Thursday, and then I went to go to the draft room on Thursday, and it said Monday. So I guess I think it's tomorrow we're going to kick off.
Where are you picking from?
I'm picking from the 12
what
hole.
Spot?
Not 12. 12 out of 15.
Mm-hmm. You like that?
Not ideal.
I mean, if
no,
you,
no.
You prefer being a little higher up in the.
Yeah, I would. I'd like to get, you know, one of the top. Five or six guys, but you can win from anywhere. You can win from it. I'm not crying in my beer about it. It'll be fine.
Right. Dude, it's
plus it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I can be crying in my beer.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was going to say, man. So what is your favorite type of fantasy baseball league format to play in? And how did you adjust your strategy based on, you know, being invited to this best ball format league?
Well, my favorite and it's not one that's very popular or we see very often, but it is one that I run that you're in as well. I love weekly head-to-head with points. I like the weekly head-to-head in baseball just because it's such a long season. You get off to a bad start or you get a couple guys on the DL in April, and you can be in such a hole in just straight season-long roto that it's really, really hard to dig out of. The weekly head-to-head kind of keeps more people in it. It keeps it more competitive, in my opinion, makes for a more fun league, but while that's kind of the standard in football, baseball has not quite caught on to this yet.
Ryan, in your earlier leagues, probably this is George Ryan. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.
In your earlier drafts, how do you feel about position scarcity? Have you noticed that there's a run on positions early where, hey, if you don't get your first baseman in the first two rounds, you're screwed? Have you seen any of this where you feel like you need to grab a position or a category earlier than you expected?
Definitely first base, for the longest time was the crown jewel of fantasy baseball. It's just, loaded with guys. You have 20 deep of, all-star caliber players, and that is not the case anymore. It gets thin real fast. Think of a guy like Jesus Aguilar sitting, the fifth, sixth, seventh first baseman coming off the board. He's been successful for two-thirds of an entire season, So you're taking a real chance real fast if you don't grab someone there. And of course, a lot of leagues now are two catchers, which is the worst idea in the history of fantasy baseball. It's like the worst position on top of it, and then you make everyone have two. So if you're in a 15-team league, that's 30 catchers, and maybe, 10 of them are at least able to even swing a bat. So catcher and first base is certainly the two that are scary.
So, Ryan, from our conversations, you were a little concerned about how your pitching was going to hold up in this type of league. So are there any pitchers that you have maybe injury concerns about that you're avoiding? Or do you feel like a roster created like a 50-round draft is deep enough where you can absorb some of the possible injuries that come up during the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something to worry about when you can't replace someone who goes down. Even with 50 rounds, you figure you're going to have a good number of pitchers there. But, as we see, there's a good number of solid starting pitchers. But, you go 6 months, like the fantasy baseball season is, and that's a long time to keep a lot of pitchers healthy. So you kind of hope you at least avoid, the Tommy Johns, the big ones like that. So it's going to come down to ADP. You guys like Kershaw, who have, been hurt repeatedly, even if it wasn't for, a huge chunk of the season, but where do you go with him in a league where you can't replace him? Noah Syndergaard's had a lot of injury concerns. Steven Strasburg and lower level like Mats or Paxton and guys like that have, consistently been injured. At some point it'll come to value, but you're going to be a little nervous pushing that draft button on some of these guys.
I think most of us are nervous hitting the button on a lot of guys in baseball nowadays. And I'm trying to ask you questions that won't give away your strategy for your draft tomorrow. I always feel bad about guys doing that. You mentioned earlier about catcher being scarce. Are you one of those people? Most leagues, we start two catchers. I like to go down to one. I think starting two catchers, especially in a league your size, is crazy. There aren't 12 catchers to go around, more or less 20, 24, 30. Would you like to see fantasy baseball adjust that and start only one catcher?
Oh, absolutely. Any league that I run is always one catcher. I always groan when I hit two catchers. I mean, I always play it, but it's definitely a different strategy, and I try not to for lack of a better word, punt the category. I at least try to get one that's really solid, and hopefully a young guy or someone that I think has potential to be a solid second. I don't want a complete dud on my roster. So, it comes to adjusting your draft strategy. And sometimes in those kind of leagues, I end up taking catchers earlier than I normally would.
So, Ryan, with, it seems like more and more teams, we were just talking about this, George and I, going to a closer by committee situation, not going with a dedicated closer. I mean, how do you plan on attacking the saves category this season?
I've always kind of had the same strategy when it came to saves throughout most of my fantasy baseball career. I always try to get one that I really feel really strongly about, one of the top guys, so like a Chapman or somebody along those lines. Try to get one who's kind of, I don't want to say middle of the road, but that guy's got a pretty good hold on the job. Of course, anything can happen, especially we've seen the last few years, just, guys are turning over at a ridiculous rate. But I always like to try to have a second that I feel pretty confident about is going to hold the job. And then usually, standard size roster, then I try to take like a wild card, a guy who, has a job, might not have a great hold on it, but, I see that he's got some dynamite stuff or a wicked fastball that I think, he's got the potential to be a higher level guy who, doesn't necessarily look like it to start the season. So in, like I said, in normal size leagues, that's how I like to try to handle it. This 50-team league, I'm gonna have to load up on some eighth inning guys and hope for some hope for some injuries, and maybe even a couple seventh inning guys, and see what happens. But in standard size, that's generally how I try to work it.
Ryan, we just talked about before you came on how it's important to be able to adjust your strategy during drafts. We all have a strategy coming in. I know I do. I'm sure you do. Joe does. We all do. But that strategy can go up in smoke real quick when there's a run on a certain position that we didn't see coming. So I guess going into a draft, how do you approach that when things don't go the way you expected them to go? And also, have you ever gone into a draft, I'm not saying tomorrow, any league, where I haven't, where but you said, you know what, screw it. I'm not going to draft speed. I'm not going to draft saves. You're going to punt the category. Are you a believer in this? Have you ever gone about trying this? And how did it work out if you did?
I've always found that I've always favored power over speed when it comes to my offense. I think they tend to help you. There's now guys like Gallo who hit 210 and hit 40 home runs. So he's a little bit of a different kind of guy. But the speed guys don't usually hit 320. You're getting runs and you're getting stolen bases at them. Where the power guys, you kind of get runs because you get runs when you hit a home run. You get power, you get the home runs, you get RBIs, and there's a decent number of them hit for a decent average. So I tend to favor power over speed. I always have to force myself to kind of take a couple guys who steal bases along the way. But I can't say punt it. Like, I just completely give up and like, I'm just not going to take any guys that steal bases. I love to try to get like the 20-20 guys as much as I can, or 25-25 guys, or 25-15 guys. Yeah. Guys that give you a little bit of everything. So just in case, you draft that one guy who's going to steal you a ton of bases, and then he goes down, and then you're completely.
Yeah, we were just talking about, part of playing fantasy sports, whether it's fantasy baseball, football, basketball, whatever, your sport of choice might be, is part of it. It's just to not only to win the league, but, draft players that you might have some fun and enjoy, owning and, that have the opportunity to have some upside. So, I mean, are there any players like that? I mean, do you love any of these young prospects that are coming up the season that you kind of like say, hey, I got to have at least, one piece of them on if you play in several leagues, like the Vlad Guerrero's, the Eloy Jimenez, or the Victor Robles.
Everybody loves Vlad, I think, right now. I mean, even with the news that he's probably going to spend the first few weeks in AAA, which I don't know that anyone's surprised about as much as we get pissed off about it. I think it should have been expected. I was a Juan Soto guy last year, and I had him in a couple leagues, picked him up when he got called up, and obviously he did me quite handsomely. So I'll be all over his bandwagon again this year. And I'm still a little bit older. I still really like Michael Conforto. For some reason, I keep drafting Gregory Polanco, guys like that. And the pitching side, Sean Newcomb, for some reason, I know he's not a big name either, but I always have him, Jose Barrios. Jack Flaherty. He's a guy that I have on a lot of my teams.
Ryan, when it comes to, I mentioned earlier, maybe I didn't mention earlier, I draft a little differently in expert leagues or industry leagues, whatever way you want to discuss them, than I would in a home league. What I mean by that is if I'm drafting a league with you, Joe Galina, you know, Scott Angle, all these guys who know what they're doing, not going to make mistakes, I might take more chances to see if I can hit gold here. Whereas I'm drafting in my home league, you know, my buddies, family, I pretty much draft straight up assuming that I'll just outperform them during the year. Do you use a similar strategy? Will you do things you wouldn't do in a home league, in a league like Tout or any of these other expert leagues that we're going to play in?
That's a good question. I don't know that I do, to be honest. I think I tend to be a little bit more of a, I would say, conservative player than some. My partner, like Steve Rappin, he's like swings for the fences all the time. Like he'll take a guy who's been injured 17 years in a row, like, oh, he's going to be great this year, where I tend to be a little more of a conservative player. So it is a little different playing in industry leagues as opposed to home leagues because guys like us should technically have an advantage since we probably spend more time with this than our friends and family. But I'm kind of a conservative guy at heart.
Yeah, I'm kind of conservative when I draft too.
Politically, though. I just want to put that.
Right. Not politically. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
don't start.
I don't like to. We were talking about drafting players, that have injury histories. Like let's say an AJ Pollock or who else did we mention, George?
Kershaw if you draft now the player, every year.
Yeah. So if you draft them and they end up getting hurt, it's on you because you took the chance, and it depends on your risk tolerance, right? So, hey, a great spot there, Ryan. Very happy to have had you on, and I've been on your podcast as well and had a lot of fun. Love you and Steve. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Fighting Chance Fantasy? I mean, George, really, you should give them a follow. They're great stuff. I mean, they're do stuff kind of outside of the box. Right now we're doing, I know you're not into reality TV, George Kurtz, but we're doing a Survivor fantasy draft right now, which is a lot of fun. So, Ryan, share with the audience some of the stuff that your site is involved with.
Yeah, we go over to fightingchancefantasy.com. We have a lot of information. Some of it's just kind of going up in the next couple weeks. We do a podcast every Thursday at 10 p.m. live. There's a player right on the site. We also have, like you said, different stuff. We did a fantasy NFL league. We're doing Fantasy Survivor. I have a game that we're going to unveil around the NCAA tournament. We do a lot of different stuff as opposed to just straight fantasy. But we do have a lot of fantasy. We have like 16 people or so. We have a DFS team now that's out there and putting out information. They do really well. If you follow them on Twitter, you can see some of their people and their wins. So I keep trying to tell them I got to get jumping on and start winning some bucks on there. But we try to have fun. We try to I'm not
the movie drafts that we did like the top comedy movies, right? Stuff like that.
Yep, we did. So, we drafted that and then put the polls on Twitter. So we try to do some fun stuff.
Good stuff. So congratulations on being selected with the first group in this draft and hold. You got some pretty stiff competition. You got Mikey Hollywood Florio there. He was with our network for a while, CTM Baseball, Matt Modica. So it should be a very competitive league. Congratulations on being selected, and have fun with the draft.
Thank you. Will do. Yeah, it's definitely a dream. I appreciate and thank everybody at Tout for giving me this invitation. Meant so much to me that put in a lot of years and to have it to be invited to this was really an honor.
All right. Well, have a good one. We'll talk to you later, and we'll check you out at Fighting a Chance.
There you go. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good one.
You too. So good stuff from Ryan there, George. And like I said, they got some great fantasy content on their site, but they also do some other stuff. Like I said, right now I know you're not into reality TV, but the Survivor TV show is going to kick off its new season later this week. So we're in a draft picking players that we think could go far into the end game. And we actually got one of the participants from last season to join our draft, and she's drafting with us. And you heard about the reality show that talking about reality shows, the Brady Bunch, right? They're coming out with a new one with the original cast, the six kids, where they bought I guess HGTV bought the Brady Bunch house. And I think in September they're going to come out with a show where they renovate the house and try to make it as close looking to what the soundstage looked like when the Brady Bunch was on. Because, when you watch the Brady Bunch, the show, you would see the outside of the house, but the in scenes, the scenes where they were in their living room or whatnot, were on a soundstage. So it's going to be interesting. You're going to be watching that? I mean,
is that how it works?
Six original kids who are now like 60 and 70 years old are going to be on the show.
This is something I'm not going to watch, by the way. And I watched the Brady Bunch growing up, but I guess we all did. Mm-hmm. That's something when you were homesick mm-hmm. from school that was always on in the morning. That you had to watch The Price is Right, maybe F Troop.
All right, when we come back, finish up the show. Why don't we talk some first base? Love Gilligan's Island. Ginger. Well, Marianne.
How's a Marianne guy?
We'll find out. All right. We'll be back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Oh, I got a live one here.
Love this. This doesn't get played enough. Prince from the original Batman movie from 1989 with Michael Keaton. Fun song. Who's your favorite Batman there, George?
Favorite Batman? Okay, I think I say Joker.
Yeah.
Favorite Batman. I guess I'd have to go with... Christian Bale does do a really good job of that guy.
Yeah, his three movies were very good.
A little bit. Mm-hmm, they were mm-hmm. good. Keaton, I thought was a little weird the way he played him. The way he played Bruce Wayne more than Batman. I thought he was a little strange, like he was just a little quirky. Mm-hmm. I'll go with Bale. I'm gonna go with Bale.
Yeah. All right. Adam West is always a fun choice, but it was campy. It was fun. And when we were kids, we watched it in reruns and stuff. But I'd have to agree.
I was
with Bale.
4 o'clock or 4:30 every day after school. We had to watch that. Yeah. Bam. Pow.
Yeah. Same bat time, same bat station. And who's the guy? Ben Affleck, right? He just hung up his cape. Not many people liked him as Batman. I don't know if you saw any of the movies. But I thought he was okay,
but I think a lot of people don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't like him, so they just equate that to Batman. I thought he was okay as Batman, and I'm not an Affleck fan at all, but I thought he was okay. But I think they don't like him, so they didn't really give him a chance there. But I thought he was okay. Like I said, I thought he was okay as Batman. I haven't seen every movie. I haven't. I've seen most, but some of them, the one with Schwarzenegger playing Mr. Freeze, I didn't care about. Batman Robin.
Yeah, that was silly. Yeah.
The ones with Bale were good. They were long, but they were good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the one with Bale where he had, what's his name, Heath Ledger as the Joker. He was awesome.
Oh, God, that was fantastic.
Wasn't it? Yeah. And, before, I saw the movie, I was a little hesitant to accept Heath Ledger as a Joker. But he was, I think he's the best one, the best guy to have played that role. And even the one with Bane, that was the last movie that Christian Bale made. That was a great one, too. It was like amazing where he breaks his back. That's straight from the comic books right there. So fun stuff. So you're hearing or you're seeing on Twitter more and more reports that it's likely that Harper's going to end up with the Phillies, right?
It look they're according to the reports, we don't know anything confirmed yet or anything like that, but they're far down the road. Now, whatever that means, you know, that's anyone's guess here. But that's the term they're using. Like I said, we've been saying this for weeks now. At least I have. I've always expected Philadelphia to sign one of these two. Harper makes more sense. You already discussed why earlier in the show. They need outfield help more than they need infield help. Franco can play third base. He's at least an adequate third baseman. He's in good. I know everyone's in great shape at this time, if you hear, but he seems to be in the best shape of his career right now. Segura's going to play short. Hernandez can play second. They're going to move Hoskins to first base. You got Kinger, who can sort of be your super utility guy. So it makes sense to go for the outfielder. It does. And I'll say it again. The owner said he was going to spend stupid money this offseason. Right now, he hasn't even spent silly money. And I said, we're still waiting on silly before we get the stupid. So maybe it'll all work out. My only worry for Harper here would be Philadelphia's a tough town, man. And it's a tough town to play. You got to play. I don't think that's really a problem for Harper, but you got to play. You know, you got to play and do well. If he gets off to just like New York, he gets off to a slow start, you know, Philly starts off 10 and, I don't know, 18, and he's hitting, 182. It's going to be real
like
tough
he did
real
last
quick
year. Got off to a real slow start.
Exactly.
Yes. Last year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But then again, that ballpark's a bandbox. He's going to hit pop flies that are going to go out.
Yeah. The one thing you can say about him is, whether or not he's slumping or not, he's a guy that just gives you 110%. So Philadelphia fans are tough, just like New York fans, but I think a little bit more.
They're a little bit unreasonable.
Fun to watch them. Yeah. So as we close out the show, we have about 13 minutes left. But who knows? Maybe you're doing a weekend fantasy update starting at 11 with Cam Stewart, my buddy Cam Stewart. Maybe you'll have some breaking news to report.
Nah, we don't get that lucky. You know, if anything, it'll happen at 2:02 Eastern time when we're done, and the next show will get the break there. I don't think. You would think with Harper and Machado that it would get done sometime this week, next week at the latest. The first baseball game, I believe, is March 19th. That's the game in Japan. So that's not going to affect these guys. I believe the first game of the regular season for everybody else, or I guess what we would consider opening day, I think is March 28th. Mm-hmm. So by the way, boys and girls, those who are drafting in fantasy leagues, remember the first game is March 19th. Your league's going to have to decide what you do about that first game if you draft after the 19th,
whether it counts.
Before the 28th. Mm-hmm. Right. Do you count that game? Do you not count that game? It's the Mariners and I don't even know who they're playing. I don't have to look that up. Oakland comes to mind, but I'm not sure about that. But I will look that up here. But you need to. Mariners don't have many fantasy players. They don't. But Oakland certainly does. They have some players we're going to want there. So I don't like. I've never liked drafting after a game is played. I honestly don't know if I've ever done it. I think all the leagues I've done have always managed to do it beforehand. So that's what I believe.
Yeah, I kind of don't like it either. And it is the A's, by the way.
It is the A's. All right. So, hey, that's Chris Davis. Yeah. You know, you got pitchers there. So you're going to want that game.
Yeah, I think it's the 20th and the 21st at the Tokyo Dome in Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah, like I said, I wish they would. I'm not a big fan of these games opening in foreign countries. I guess whatever. And they're going to Ichiro's going to be on the roster probably just for those games. Which really is also kind of silly in my mind that he'll be released or whatever it is. So that's just not a fan here. You're right. And, hey, Joe, you're going to get up 5:30 a.m. to be on ESPN. You're going to get up and watch, right?
Of course. I love the A's.
Yeah. Even if I was
they're a fun team. I don't know if I'd wake up at 5:30.
The Yankees played in this. Remember the Yankees played Tampa Bay a decade ago, whatever the hell it was? I don't remember offhand, but I don't think I woke up. I think I recorded it and then just watched it when I woke up. Hey, this is before Twitter, too, so you'd have to worry about really finding out the score unless you turned on the radio or something. So that's what I'll probably do here. I'll record the game and watch it when I get up. Kids will be in school then, I believe, so I'll just watch it while I'm getting them ready.
There you go. All right. So in the 10 minutes that we have left, I wanted to start, breaking down some of these positions, and maybe we'll do that more next week. But why don't we start talking a little first base? And I don't think we need to. Why don't we talk about maybe some of the sleepers at first base? I mean, maybe we'll dive deeper into the position next week. But, you know, let's say guys that might be outside of the top 15. I'll bring up some players, maybe get your take on them, all right? And we talked about, you know, the first base maybe being a little bit, a little scarcity at the first base position. But you have, in a way, so many players that are multi-position eligible that, you know, you can make up for it and find some value later. But what do you think of Jose Martinez from the Cardinals, who is first base and outfield eligible? Now, I'm a little concerned with him actually getting enough at-bats because, I mean, he's almost like a player that we talked about, you know, professional hitters like, you know, Daniel Murphy or whatnot. This guy could hit the ball. 2018, 305 batting average, 18 home runs, 83 RBIs. But I think he's better suited for the ALs, maybe eventually a DH. But what do you think about him, you know, as filling in maybe at first base or maybe more of a corner infielder for you?
Well, he's not playing first base, right? That's Paul Goldschmidt.
But I think he's eligible, so, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he's eligible, but he's not playing first base. So good luck there. You got Ozuna. He's in the outfield. He's not going to play center field, so he'd have to play over Fowler. Yeah, which means his best case scenario may be in a platoon with Fowler, and he'd be on the wrong end of that platoon. Fowler's the switch hitter, so he'll bat lefty. Martinez will bat righty. I like the player. I think he can hit. Mm-hmm. But you already said it. Where are the at bats coming from? I could easily see him being a two game a week player. You know, with a pinch in National League, so he gets a pinch hit every. You know, every other game, and then you had the bat for the pitcher. I could see that. That's not enough.
That's my fear.
You know, he's
that's
a guy.
You know, him struggling to be 400 at bats.
They were close. They talked with the Yankees last year about dealing him to the Yankees before the Yankees got Voight from them. You know, and let you know, they knew it back then. He can hit, but he has no place. And the problem is teams are going to try and hold them. Teams are going to try to hold the Cardinals hostage because they know that. And they want the Cardinals to give away at a discount. You know, because he is an American League player where he can DH some and, you know, play some first base and some outfield. But he's got no position here. So unless there's an injury here, I don't like his chances of getting, 400 at-bats. I think that would be a lot for him.
What about Pirates Josh Bell entering his age 27 season, 2018, 261 batting average, just 12 home runs, 62 runs batted in. You know, this was a guy that, you know, I kind of thought that eventually that he would emerge as, you know, one of the top first basemen. You know, never thought of him as like a, you know, 30-plus home run guy, but, you know, when you look at what his issues are, I mean, he has good on-base percentage skills, but it's got that high ground ball rate, and that's going to limit his home runs. I mean, what are we thinking about Josh Bell for the season?
Last year was certainly a disappointing year, right? I mean, he went 26 home runs, 90 ribbies in 17, and then last year was 1262. So what the hell happened here? You know, Pirates aren't the team they used to be. They got rid of a lot of their players here, so that's going to struggle some. PNC Park, for as beautiful as it is, and it is a beautiful ballpark, is not a hitter's park. It's a pitcher's park. You know, so I think that holds it down, too. I mean, I do expect somewhat of a rebound here to somewhere probably between what he did in 17 and 18. I could see 20 home runs. I could see 80, 82 RBIs there. Stolen base, he doesn't steal any bases. The average looks like it's going to be an average that, at best, won't hurt you, or at best is just, you know, right down the middle where you need it to be. So I don't think you're going to get much there. Runs, I think, is not going to be what you want for from a first baseman. Bottom line is, I think he's a corner infielder fantasy-wise, not a first baseman. First base is a problem this year. I mean, Ryan already said it, right? It's very top-heavy. Freeman, Goldschmidt, Rizzo, Bellinger, Votto, Carpenter, Abreu. After that, it gets very scary very quick. You know, you got Santana, Encarnacion, Aguilar, Gallo, Desmond, Smoke, Hosmer, you know, Olsen, Kron, Muncy. These guys will have problems, though. We don't know what we're going to get from these guys. Bell, Ryan Zimmerman, Miguel Cabrera is in this list. Of guys you just don't know. Marvin Gonzalez, whenever he signs with somebody. People forget that he's out there available, too. He's a valuable player who can play anywhere.
Right,
You know, really surprised that he, for how teams like to go about setting up their teams, where maybe you want to keep an extra pitcher on your roster, Gonzalez would be great because he can play every infield position and the outfield. The only thing he can't do is catch and pitch. But so I'm surprised he hasn't signed yet. But what I'm trying to get to is after the first six, seven first basemen, It's almost like you're trying to hit a category. You know, like, do you want average? Yeah. Do you want power? You know, do you want to sacrifice average and go for power in Joey Gallo? In a points league, even Gallo's not even great in that because he's going to strike out a million times. Do you believe in Max Muncy that he's going to be able to do it again?
I kind of position. I kind of do. Yeah.
I kind of do, too. I like Max Muncy. Yeah. He's a sneaky guy later on. Can Ryan Zimmerman replace some of the power that they're going to lose in assuming Harper goes? Josh Bell, we just talked about.
Can he stay healthy?
Be anywhere near the Hall of Famer that he's going to be. You know, Hosmer, what can he do in San Diego? Justin Smoke, power. You know, Desmond, we discussed earlier in the show. There's a lot of guys, but the problem is that's just it. There's a lot of guys. There's not a lot of stars here after the first six or seven are off the board.
Believe it or not, I mean, Jurickson Profar for the A's. I mean, look where he's eligible at short, third, first base. That's on the NFBC. Different leagues, he might even be eligible, and could even play the outfield. So you don't know. I mean, 2018 kind of had almost like the season that everyone was waiting for. You know, very highly touted prospect for a while. But looks like he's probably going to be the A's second baseman for this season. But again, one of these guys that, you know, is going to be eligible at the first base spot. Last season, 20 home runs, 10 stolen bases. You get 10 stolen bases from your first baseman, you're kind of happy. But then again, I looked, the A's actually stole the fewest bases in baseball, which I was surprised. You always think of the A's, the old A's, as being like a running team, right? But they stole just 35 bases, and they had the lowest attempts as well. But Profar is an interesting guy this season.
Well, when it comes to the A's and stolen bases, remember, Billy Bean started this. This saber metrics, this, everything's by numbers. He's the one who truly believes that if you can't steal at an 80% successful clip, don't steal. You know, don't steal. You know, they believe that, you know, every out is too precious, so you can't do that. You can't be giving up outs, you know, for a stolen base. So gaining 90 feet isn't in their makeup. It's just not important to them. You know, their team's going to play for the home run. So I'm not surprised here at all. A lot of teams do believe this as well. Outs are too precious. You only get 27 of them. You can't, you know, you just can't do it anymore. It's also why so many teams play for the home run, by the way. Because in today's day and age, of where everybody's throwing the ball 99, 100 miles an hour, most teams don't believe you can get three singles to get a run. You know, you're not going to get three. You know, you just can't get three hits in a row. It's too hard in today's game. That's why power is so valuable, to get those instant runs. And it's the same thing with stolen bases. What is the risk worth the reward? Yes, you gain 90 feet, but can anybody drive him in? You know, and if he's out, then now you're just taking away a chance for a two-run home run. It's just the way a lot of teams are thinking, the way a lot of teams are built, and the A's are built more for power than they are for speed.
Yes, yes. Joey Votto, do you see a rebound from his 2018 season? I mean, 2017, 36 home runs, 100 ribbies, 2018, 12 home runs. I mean, you know, this Nick Dika from Fangraphs put together a nice little article that you guys should read, talking about how his average fly ball distance has fallen. How much of a rebound can you think you expect from Votto?
Well, he was hurt for a big part of last year. Sure, he played, but he played through injury. You know, and maybe that distance wasn't as far because he couldn't drive. You know, the knee was what he really banged up there, and he probably should have been out longer than he actually was. So, yeah, I think he rebounds somewhat. Do I think he's going to hit 36 home runs again like he did in 17? No. But I think 24, 25, you know, mid-20s is coming in with the average. Once again, that helps you. We know the OBP is fantastic. So if you play in an OBP league, he's still somebody you
want
there.
Absolutely.
So I'm on board with Votto. Maybe not returning quite to the superstar he was 2 years ago, but still being a very good, very useful player.
All right, well, that's about it. We got Weekend Fantasy Update with George and my friend Cam Stewart. You guys be talking, some hockey, some baseball? So what are you guys going to be doing?
We're talking some gambling here, right? That's what we do here. We give you some
making money.
Plays hockey. Make some cash.
All right, Roto Experts in the Morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Engel.